All right, everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to the show Life's a Banquet, the show that's edible, spreadable, and Zara.
Horrible.
Starring your hosts, me, Brenton Scott, and
me, Zara Tangora.
A show about ostriches, wine, and dough.
I'm drunk.
Always. Life's a banquet, life's a banquet, life's a banquet, banquet.
Hey.
Hey.
Harmony.
All right. Welcome to episode number 3 of Life's a Banquet podcast, the podcast that's
a ding ding daka da ding ding da daka daka ding ding daka da ding ding da daka daka ding ding daka da ding ding da daka daka ding ding daka da ding ding da daka daka ding ding da daka daka ding ding da daka daka ding
ding da daka daka ding ding da daka daka. Welcome to Life's a Banquet, the podcast, the show that's edible, spreadable, and pourable, starring your hosts Brenton Scott and
Zara Tangora.
Welcome, everybody.
Hi.
It's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks.
Stop the car. Stop what you're doing.
Stop the presses.
Go in the closet if you're with your family. Hide. Go in your basement. Go, if you're in the gym, get off the treadmill. Get off that stupid elliptical. It's not even doing anything anyway.
Get off the rowing machine.
Yep. And
get into the sauna.
Get into the sauna and steam away. Steam away that
fat. A podcast best listened to in the sauna.
Yes. And now welcome to one of the world's leading podcasts. Sponsored by all things. So, so Zara, how is your, what's going on this week?
Oh man, well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you and our listeners for a moment. I am down in the dumps. I'm not
having
a good week.
Wait, I thought you saw that on episode 2.
Well, it's continuing. That was only last week. So my dad died. Which
oh,
really
right.
stinks.
Isn't that weird? Between episode 2 and 3, it's still there.
He's still dead.
When did you record? When did we record? About 5 or 6 days ago, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it hasn't been a full week.
No.
That's so weird that you're not over it yet.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. I just felt like by now I would have just gone away completely. So
I know,
I'm having a hard time with that. And when I was thinking of my theme for today's episode, which I'll lay on you later, I kind of did it in a small tribute to my dad in a weird way, but you'll see later.
I can't wait to, this is as if everybody knows that this is a complete surprise to me.
Yeah.
Zara and I will alternate every other week of a story.
Yeah.
That when we
just clapped,
I
just clapped my foot.
Yes. We are sitting here in the heart of Fort Greene Studio 54 recording.
Yeah.
And we are, it is a gorgeous
looking out the window.
Day outside.
What kind of dog is that? A fat Yorkie? Walking by?
Something like that.
It's some kind of stuffed thing that's eaten too much.
Well, if you could
food.
Look out of our window right now, you would see giant yellow pipes and
oh yeah,
and construction barricades because they're, for the second time in 3 months, ripping up the road here in little quaint old Fort Greene.
Sweet little affordable Fort Greene. I just went to go look at a studio apartment on the street I used to live on. Back in the day, one of my biggest regrets of many, many, many regrets I have in life. Hate those people who said no regrets. They're liars.
Yeah.
We all have them. Yes. Let's just embrace
regret
it.
Regret is a real...
No regrets. Oh, okay.
No, how about this? Don't beat yourself up over regretting,
right.
But there are regrets.
Yeah, no like lashing yourself constantly about the things you did wrong, but like...
Oh, but you're going to feel it.
I mean, no, the only people who don't have regrets are like rich people who don't give a fuck.
If I would have, I was going to say something really dark, but just, you know, things like, oh, if I would have just waited 5 more minutes, I wouldn't have, you know, slipped on the ice and then I wouldn't have broken my leg and, oh.
Yeah, that's a regret.
No, I don't, nobody wants to break their leg.
No, it's not like, oh, you know, I mean, I guess you could say everything happens for a reason, but still a broken leg is whack as hell.
Yeah. Is that reason good or bad? I've always asked myself that.
What?
No, say, oh, everything happens for a reason. It's a,
sometimes
well,
it's a bad
reason.
Oh, yeah. It can absolutely be
nobody
for a bad reason.
Not all reasons are good.
Not everybody's life works out.
Unless you're Buddhist, then that's all a lesson.
Right.
So we're learning a lesson this week.
We are learning a lesson. It's a tough lesson. Part of my lesson not only is death, but realizing that I am being completely priced out of Brooklyn.
Well, that is a true thing.
I'm also suffering a little bit from other passings and I am trying to find a new apartment on my own. And I got to tell you, a studio apartment in Brooklyn is the worst. It's the worst end of the stick, of any stick.
Studio apartment, yeah.
It's like...
screw you for living alone, holy, you dummy.
Yeah, it's like, it's adding insult to injury. It's like, you don't have any money? Oh, well, I hope you got enough money to pay for this. But I just saw a box. I'm not kidding. It was as big as your living room. It was the smallest apartment I've ever seen.
More than my living room?
It was $1,900.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, I just was like, what is this world coming to? Honestly. And I'm not trying to say like that's the worst problem, that an apartment would cost a lot of money. What is this world coming to? But it's just kind of like, man, what happened? And, you know, I have a decent job. I make a decent living. Like, what about people who, I don't know, what are we doing to the people of this city by making a living that much? Are you trying to take a picture of these chestnuts?
No, I'm putting on a stopwatch.
Oh, I thought you were trying to take a picture of chestnuts. Well, I was like, sorry, I'm boring you.
Sorry. There goes the secret to our production crew. Hey, it's it's me, everybody.
The secret to our production is Brendan in a bowl of chestnuts.
The sound guy is me. Zara, did you see me? She called me out.
I'm sorry. I thought you were like trying to either get a chestnut to eat.
I don't have a Robin in the back. Wait, Robin was the co-host. Anyway, you were getting priced out.
No, it's just crazy.
It is insane.
It's a crazy world we live in.
I have been, this morning I woke up and I was complaining, I wish I had a better bathroom and I wish I had I wish my hardwood floors were real in my kitchen. I wish I could tile it and blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, well, it's New York, the rental, there's always going to be something. Mm-hmm. I think of my parents. My mom has this wonderful giant kitchen and she's always like, I wish I had more counter space. And she has... she has more counter space than the square foot of that studio just looked at.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a thing about, like, you know, people, especially in America, always wanting more and thinking it when is you true. Get I mean, more, then your life's better.
Gosh. What's going on this week?
Well, I'm in one of those modes where I'm feeling very sad. And so when I get sad, I don't like to eat much. So I just had a Triscuit binge and I ate one of those sumo oranges earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You had those.
I've been eating a lot, folks. It is citrus.
It's in full effect.
It's in full effect, and it is just alive. And those, there's a new Whole Foods that just opened up in Fort Greene, which is why your rent was raised.
Exactly.
Whole Foods is like, oh shoot.
I know, it was like up. $500 a month before, and they're like, well, now you have access to these sumo mandarins just around the corner.
And I was in the Whole Foods, and he was a very nice gentleman, and he opened up was it the sumo ones? He said they're only around for 6 to 8
weeks. They look like boobs.
Weeks. Yeah, they're big and kind of
and like flossy. A boob with a giant nipple.
Yeah, perhaps that you shouldn't
wrinkly.
Be eating it.
Yeah.
And you open. Oh, that's right. We opened it up and it is the fleshiest.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this last week?
If we did, then people will know that we're serious about mandarins.
We got more. And I tried to convince another customer to get it and she wasn't into it.
Idiot.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I feel
so
like...
So you're not eating...
I'm not eating that much, although I did go for, my mom. I went back to my mom's house to get mommy comfort. And
Long Island.
My mom made this delicious sweet potato, kale, and chicken thigh curry.
Oh.
It was really good.
Your mom loves the curry.
She's a new lover of curry. She didn't like really vibe on it before, but now she's like, curry this, curry that.
Okay, well, again, in case we should always mention this, that Zara's mother and former father... bless his heart, in the 70s had a catering company called the Love and Oven, right?
Yeah.
70s, 80s. And so your mom was a caterer.
She's good.
I just said this on the first episode, but it doesn't matter because right now, because we're in the present moment. and that is, I remember I saw a journal and when I was managing Brucey, I thought it would be really cool to like go into my boss's office and open a journal. Well, what's this journal?
Then it went in her wallet.
It was a really pretty book and I opened it up. And there was some drawings in it, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there were some drawings and
probably
some sketches.
Probably my dad. My dad was an artist.
And it was really pretty. And then I saw some recipes. And I'm thinking, oh, well, this can't be that private. It's probably like a little recipe book.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was your mom and dad's idea. It was a little idea sketchbook, either when they were opening it or during or before. But I think there was a little combination of both. And it was really cool to see somebody's, we want to open a catering company that, you know, makes people happy. All the, you know, the basic things you have when you dream big.
I know. Well, I mean, they were lucky because food wasn't like a thing like it is now. Like,
Especially in Long Island.
Yeah, they brought quiche to Long Island. Like, nobody was, like, messing with quiche before that. Or spanakopita. Like, they really enjoyed savory pastries.
Now you can get that anywhere.
Yeah,
anywhere.
They are a dime a dozen.
I walked into, what's that place called? Dean and DeLuca. I was in Soho yesterday. And there was...
Good old D&D. That place is so expensive.
It's so expensive, but they took... I've been going there for years, and I can't remember when they opened, probably in the
80s. Yeah, like in the 80s.
I don't know. Fact check, Google it. And there's a... If you've ever been in the D&D Luke, it's very large and spacious, very long. And on the sides, they have the bakery and the deli and the butcher. And then down the middle, it was a giant kind of metro shelving of groceries. And they took all of it away.
What?
Except for a couple little spaces.
Where do they do instead?
It's all prepared foods.
Really?
All prepared foods. Everybody is getting stuff to go.
That's interesting.
Fast casual. It's really, really interesting to think.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah,
I guess they probably weren't making, with that rent, you're probably not making very much money off of the dry goods.
Selling a $14.95 carton of a la Perouche demerara sugar. Turn a profit. Oh my God, the sugar is flying out the door.
Oh my God, we can't keep the sugar on these shelves.
God, we need more a la Perouche. Is it a la Perouche or is it a la Perouche?
Always call it a la Perouche.
Really?
No. God, I don't know what the right pronunciation is. We should just quit while we're ahead.
So it was Chinese New Year.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Tell us about your Chinese New Year.
I didn't go to Chinatown. I slash my friend Diane Kwan, and she's my friend that I always have to say her first and last name, only because there was other Diane and Diana's when I met her. And maybe it's your email address, but which I won't tell you what that is.
Yeah. Just leave that as a mystery. Yeah. You can reach her at Diane Kwan
at Hotmail. No. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we cooked a whole fish.
You brought Chinatown
she
to you.
Got a black bass, freshly killed there.
What?
Had it killed.
Oh, right. They do that in Chinatown.
6 p.m. She brought it over here. That thing was bloody.
Wow, that's so cool.
Bloody. It was absolutely delicious. We kind of put it on a roasting pack and rack. I did a pack ran.
A pack ran?
Yeah. A rack and a pan together.
I thought a pack ran was something I didn't know about.
Yeah, it's new. It's up and coming.
Pac-Man.
You heard it here
Check
first
it
at Life's a Banquet podcast. No, we put it on a roasting pan, little, you know, just covered it with foil and stuffed it with a ton of ginger and scallion. And it was divine.
That sounds good.
It was so simple.
Clean and
simple.
I love a roast fish. I roasted a fish on Valentine's Day.
That's right.
I roasted a snapper. It was great. And my new, P.S. I'm going to take this like little sidebar to shout out Field Company. My friends own a company Field Company, and they make cast iron pans. It's really cool.
Yeah, we're not even sponsored by them.
We're not, but we could be.
Yeah, we absolutely are.
And we're open to it.
100% open to receiving pans, using them, telling everybody how wonderful they are. You would not believe that sear. You know, if you season that thing properly after time and time again, that thing keeps getting better and better. It's amazing what you can do to a steak on a Field Company.
It's incredible.
Cast iron pan.
I put in a slice of bologna and I took out a ribeye steak.
That reminds me.
It's amazing.
exactly.
Yeah.
Charred some radicchio and out came home.
It was amazing. So what else did you make for Chinese New Year? I interrupted
she
you.
She had Buddha's Delight, which is a vegetarian. A bunch of vegetables and dried soaked stuff stirred together. And then you have long noodles for long life.
Oh.
There's other things. There's some symbols that mean things. Oh, and this concludes. No, I have finished 1 week of sobriety. And by sobriety,
congratulations!
Thank you very much.
It really does feel good to do it.
By sobriety, I mean sober from alcohol only.
Yeah, you're still doing heroin.
Heroin pills.
Shooting heroin between your knuckles.
No, but no drinking, and it was my first time I had a dinner party here, and I didn't drink, and it was fascinating.
It's a very, and you like when you think about it and you think, oh, I'm not going to drink at X, Y, and Z event that normally alcohol is so important and you don't drink at those events. I think it's like the most exhilarating kind of experience downhill speed skating.
God, I love it. I remember everything, every detail. And I did all the dishes.
Wow.
And it was clean and it was very strange. And then the next morning I got up at 7 and finished cleaning and it was so... It wasn't that moment when you're super hungover and you wake up, you're like, oh, yeah. Like, oh my God, the table's a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, there's wax everywhere. I blew out the candles at the end of the night.
Wow, that's amazing.
I put it all together by 8:30. Everything was clean. Preston got out of bed and
wow,
the place is clean.
That's great. Did you make dumplings? I remember when I left you the other day, you were going to make some dumplings.
I was very stressed about it. Oh, we recorded that day. That's
yeah. All right.
Wow, I did a lot. Yeah, I made, they're called pork fried mini buns. It's a Shanghai street food thing. And you you make that that wonderful, the puffy, yeasty dumpling dough.
Like you would use for like a bao. Okay.
Bao dough. And then.
Like a bao. It's like kind of like what you use for a bao.
Did you guys hear baos are big? So you roll them out and the dough was rising so fast. It was so
really?
Puffy.
Was it scary?
Well, yeah, it was scary, actually. I put it up on top in a warm on a sheet pan, and when I came back, they had doubled, tripled in size. I didn't know what to do, what to go. But it was fine. They turned out okay. And what I realized about cooking, first of all, it's not food that I normally cook.
Yeah.
My creasing was awful.
Oh,
I'm sitting here judging myself, and I'm thinking, gosh, can you imagine having to roll and shape all those dumplings and we just get it and we gobble it down.
I know. Do you ever go to, I got to take you to my favorite place, Bar Mandu in Koreatown. And they have,
there.
You have?
Yeah.
Where with the ladies in the window?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's closer to the Fifth Avenue.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's on the famous 32nd Street.
I just like that all those women are there representing like cooking.
It's really good. Very delicious.
It's very delicious. It's really tasty. They have very good kimchi mandu, which are like a little different than their other ones. They're like a little bigger and they have like kimchi and egg and like pork.
I really want it.
They're really good. They're my favorite thing ever.
Yeah, I should get a job so I can afford to eat it.
Yeah, you should.
Mandu.
Yeah, if you don't have a job, you can't eat any kimchi dumplings. I want to tell you a story this week.
Okay, here we go.
And as I mentioned,
I'm very excited.
So there's a couple of things to the story. So I wanted to find this thing and bring it here so we could have a segment in your kitchen.
Okay.
So my topic is lobster.
Oh.
Lobster, luscious, lumpy lobster.
Luscious, lumpy lobster with lots of clarified lutter.
Lumpy lobster.
Crustaceans.
Lumpy lobster. So my topic is lobster. And I picked it because, as you guys know, on this podcast, we try to pick stories to talk about that are interesting, and they've gone from
surprising.
They've gone from rags to riches and riches to rags and back and forth again. So my topic is lobster, but I have another little story that's attached to it. It's dedicated to my dad. So my dad hated lobster. He didn't eat any seafood or chicken or turkey. Isn't that strange?
Sure.
He only ate like beef and pork, but he was like he ate all vegetables and tofu. He just like didn't eat fish and chicken.
Fine.
But it's
people like certain things.
Totally, but it's just a strange. I always thought it was strange. But he was a strange guy for other reasons. So I just want to hit you with a couple of fun facts about lobsters quickly. What do you think the biggest lobster ever grew to? If you had a guess.
I don't know. Probably 42 pounds.
Do you know this already? That's exactly right. Almost 44 pounds.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I just haven't.
44 pounds. It was in Nova Scotia in 1988, and it was like almost 4 feet long.
Wow.
Isn't that?
What do they do with
scary?
It?
Scary.
Was it tough?
It was 100 years old. I don't know.
I'm sure the barbarian chefs probably just took it. Wow, that was delicious.
I can't imagine
let's make lobster macaroni and cheese and sell it in Midtown.
I don't think you should eat something that's 100 years old, no matter what. So. Another thing I learned about lobster I thought was interesting. Do you know, I always thought that they put the rubber bands on the claws solely to help people from getting snipped when they get home, but that's not the reason.
Really?
If they're squished together in a tank like that, they start eating each other.
I think I've heard of that.
Isn't that crazy?
I
think it's mostly crazy because I don't even know where a lobster's mouth really is. It doesn't seem like it'd be big enough to eat another lobster.
Yeah, they have to get through that shell.
They don't even have any lobster crackers.
Don't they have those little the things in the back? They have like the tiny little pinchers.
Oh. Do you mean the little feet that you like
that
chew
is?
On and like, like a pixie stick full of lobster meat?
I call that, they're basically giant beetles of the ocean.
Well, they call it, in my next part of my story, I'll reveal that they used to call them cockroaches of the ocean.
Yeah, I thought that was a shrimp.
I guess lobsters too. Maybe giant shrimp are more like stink bugs of the ocean.
Stink bugs and lobsters are the giant crust.
Like a water bug. Palmetto bug.
Palmetto bug.
Disgusting. Anyway, listen. A lobster's brain is in its throat. Its nervous system is in its abdomen. Its teeth are in its stomach. Its kidneys are in its head. It hears with its legs and it tastes with its feet.
What? You've got it all wrong, Mr. Lobster.
You are backwards when you're supposed to be forwards. So, 17th century pilgrims arrive in America, in Maine and Boston, on the East Coast, to find it littered with lobsters.
Oh, they were disgusting.
They were disgusted by them, and they were 2 feet, they said they would be 2 feet high of just lobsters everywhere.
And were they eating each other also at the time?
Probably. It was just like a big lobster Caligula / cannibal situation. Fucking and eating and killing, murdering. But they were everywhere. And no, like the white people didn't want to eat them. The Native Americans would eat them, but they would also use them for like bait.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They used to be bait.
And they use them to fertilize their crops.
Oh.
Which I thought was very interesting.
What if it makes a lovely red tomato?
I have no idea, but they would not. Part of the reason why I think they didn't like them is because they were eating them. They were cooking them while they were dead. They didn't boil them like we do today.
Cooking them. Oh, yeah, of course.
Which is like.
They didn't boil them not, alive. Drop a.
Which now if you get a dead lobster, you don't cook it. I would never cook a dead lobster. I would think it would make you sick.
Well, that's so weird. Cook dead crabs, dead shrimp.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea.
They're the only ones that are. Sorry, we're going to drop you into a pit of boiling water.
A boiling pit of water. I don't know.
My God.
It's crazy. A lot of times I've heard that like chefs in like way higher end restaurants who are very particular will like get them drunk first. They'll like soak them in vodka. So the lobster's drunk before it dies. So it doesn't like tense up and then taste like slightly different.
Well, yeah, it would tense up.
Oh. I stab them between the eyes.
I wonder how long. Oh, do you remember that story about that guy that fell in one of the hot springs?
No. Oh,
in Utah or something. Well, I think it's just yes. So hot. It's like probably if you were dunked in a pot of boiling water. I don't think
that is the.
I think
worst.
You would go into shock immediately.
Why?
Oh wait, sorry.
Why did he go in there?
Let's go back to.
Anyway, so
back to, all right, folks, back to lobsters.
So the lobsters are basically for poor people and prisoners. And they're giving them to servants, and the servants are so sick of having lobster in the Northeast that they put into their contracts that they'll only eat lobster 3 times a week max because they're trying to give it to them every single day. Okay, so we start off here with the pilgrims, and then jumping forward a little bit, lobster back became an insult for British soldiers who were wearing red coats.
Lobster back.
Lobster back.
Have you seen the latest lobster back running up and down the street?
It is coming right for us.
What? That accent was.
That's more of like a.
My word. My word.
Oh, yes. Oh, my word. I love that accent. That's one of my favorite ones. So, early 19th century, still getting a bad rap. A house with lobster shells in front of it signified a poor home. In 1850, some restaurants were starting to go along with the program, put it on the menu, but they would put it on as like a cheap salad topping. 1836, the B&M company.
Cheap salad.
Yeah, it would be like a crouton or something sprinkled at the top.
You want that with the lobster, without?
Yeah.
No, charge.
Yeah, exactly. It's free.
Yeah.
It's just like...
That's a crunchy lobster.
Exactly. It was... People were not into it at all. In 1936, the B&M company decides to start canning it and helps it a little bit, but it's still not so good. A can of lobster cost a fifth of the price of a can of baked beans.
A fifth. Really were just...
They were like not into it. Not feeling it.
This is some ocean trash we're going to attempt to sell.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like what's that disgusting today, fish-wise.
I don't know. It's like spam.
Nothing really. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were just, people were not feeling it whatsoever. But listen, this is where I think it gets real interesting. In the late 19th century, when the railroads started to become a big thing, so did lobster, because things then aren't like what they are today. There's obviously no social media, blah, blah, blah. And nobody knew outside of the Northeast that lobster was disgusting. So they had never, people hadn't even heard of lobster anywhere outside of the Northeast. So the railroads rebranded it with the canning companies, and they started packing it and canning it. And then it was going on the railroad and being fed to customers as like a luxury item. And then people, that's when people started coming to Boston specifically to get lobster. People were flocking to Boston to eat it in the 1880s. Chefs started putting it on menus in like a real way, not just like as an inexpensive salad topping. Mm-hmm, they were, you know, inventing dishes with lobster. People were coming in for lobster, and lobster it really started to be aspect. Expensive.
Yeah.
Exactly. Lobster chowder, fried lobster, lobster with pineapple, lobster Newberg, lobster Thermidor, lobster and lobster sauce, lobster and shrimp sauce, lobster
steak
fried rice,
lobster,
right, lobster tartare.
Lobster, yeah.
Raw lobster is disgusting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so gooey. It's not an option for eating. 1920s, overfishing, and high demand. Plus, a good image rebranding makes lobster very, very, very expensive. It was super, you know, Gatsby-esque. People were just chomping away at it. But wait, then the 1929 Great Depression and stock market crash. Boom. Lobster is once again a dirty, dirty food for dirty, dirty people. Mainers survived the Great Depression mainly by picking free lobsters out of the water. So wow. It was a big thing, but it again like sunk to being something about, you know, poor class.
Mm-hmm.
So post-World War II, people are doing better. Things are on the uppity up. And people started eating lobster again. And it kind of just stayed that way. And in between the 50s and the 1950s and 1970s was like the biggest lobster shortage there ever was. And that's like the highest prices ever were.
And that's why that's when people became, oh, lobster's a
exactly.
luxury item.
Exactly. It became really expensive and kind of got this reputation. There's obviously all those kind of like 60s dishes like lobster Newberg and
Thermidor.
Delicious. I love lobster Thermidor.
Do you like lobster Thermidor? I've never had
it. I love
it.
We used to do it at Brucey. We did it a couple times on New Year's Eve. Jenny made it. It was great. It was for two.
It's kind of a, you put the breadcrumbs on
it's like a mushroomy sauce.
Okay. That's
and,
right.
Yeah. Breadcrumbs. It's very good. It's delicious.
Yes.
It's not something you really see around that much anymore, but if you see it, get it. Well, so everything kind of just stayed like that. And then in 2012, ocean temps got really high. Thank you very much, global warming. And there was an abundance of lobsters and prices dropped really, really, really low.
Huh.
Because there was way more supply than there was demand. So, and then I started reading a tiny bit about lobster, the other brand of lobster, the other lobster meat, the European lobster or blue lobster or the Breton lobster.
Really?
Yes.
They have a Breton lobster?
A Breton lobster. Uh-huh. It's blue and spotted. And the meat's, I guess, a little bit tougher and sweeter. But
oh, wait, sweeter.
They say it's delicious. And it's still viewed in Europe as much more of a delicacy, not something that you just kind of get anywhere.
How do you say lobster in French? I don't believe that I know.
Oh, I don't know. I would think
langoustine.
Langoustine something.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the langoustine from Italy, which are kind of
langoustino
like small.
Are yeah. the big giant shrimp.
Big giant shrimps.
Yeah. With the head on and then like you suck the brains out. That's
suck
my favorite thing.
The brains.
I have to be honest with you, a shrimp head or like a langoustine head is maybe one of my favorite things in life.
When I was a foreign exchange student in Spain when I was in high school, they got these gorgeous langoustines, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. They went to the fish market and it was right in the, I was on the Costa del Sol on the eastern side of Spain on the Mediterranean. And, you know, I was, didn't know how fortunate it was. And I was from Wisconsin, so I didn't have all the seafood and I was very, I would see a whole shrimp and like, oh my
God. Run the other way.
Like, yeah, this is a little like, scary. Yeah! And I remember it was that moment the host family cooked the head on shrimp for me. And then everybody ripped the heads off and started sucking it. And it was a scene out of, it was like,
yeah,
and it was
pornographic.
It's kind of green and a little brownish and
delicious.
I knew I was next. It was like around the table. Like,
oh no.
And it got, I couldn't do it.
Really?
I couldn't do it. I could not get myself to do it.
Do you like it now?
Oh my gosh. Of course.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
I love it.
I think one day I just realized with eating, I don't know, I'm already eating the body of the shrimp.
Right.
Right? I'm eating the dead, killed
the dead body,
of the cockroach of the sea already, the stink bug of the sea.
Exactly.
And
you're
so
eating a dead
why
body.
Would it, what's so much different about the head?
Nothing.
And it's just simply the way that we're raised.
Absolutely. I feel the same way about people who are like not into eating tongue or I don't know. Yeah. Jowl or something. It's like,
I'm a little bit weird about chicken feet.
Well, I don't particularly love chicken feet.
The claws get stuck in your teeth. No. That's kind of weird.
Yeah. I don't like eyeballs, but I'm not like, because I just don't like them. I don't think they taste good. Do you like an eyeball?
I don't, there's really nothing to it. It has a weird marble on that you have to suck and spit out.
I'm not into that.
I'm cool. I love eyeballs. Oh, I'm a 28-year-old tattooed chef, and I love eyeballs. Sorry,
the best part is the eyeball, man.
Oh, man. Dude, you got it.
Oh, you don't eat the eyeball?
Dude, you're missing the best part.
Yeah. No, the eyeball is definitely not the best part.
I think in Chinese, it's good luck or something.
Really?
Or bad luck or something. Curse. Yeah. Superstition. Everything's a superstition.
Right. I'm not into the eyeball, but, you know, I don't know. I do love a shrimp head. Love it, love it, love it. Servos, delicious head-on shrimp. Really good. Mm-hmm. Check it out. So the part that I'm dedicating to my dad of this story, which is really fascinating and fulfills my own love of true crime. And my dad loved the carnival in like a creepy way. Like my dad had great taste and like loved art and was an artist, and his home is decorated beautifully. So, but his bedroom is decorated with all weird antique carnival stuff.
Oh,
it's kind of scary.
Yeah, no, I like that.
So this is a quick murder story of Grady Stiles, the Lobster Boy.
The Lobster Boy. Oh, I think this is a classic carnival character, right?
It is. So Grady Stiles was born June 26th, 1937, with a deformity called, please forgive me if I mispronounce this, I'm not good at pronouncing things, ectrodactyl. I think ectrodactyl is the name of what he had. And it's basically like being ectrodactyl. So it's basically like when your hands are like lobster claws. You know what I mean?
Of course.
In no way am I making fun of anyone with that deformity. It must be very, very difficult. He also had it in his feet. And he was the sixth person in his family line since 1805 to have this condition. But he had it in his feet.
Obviously.
A crazy genetic oddity. You know, I've actually met people that have this, and some, like...
you know people with lobster claw disease?
Not personally, but there's a gentleman who either owns a pizzeria or makes pizza at Vinny's in Williamsburg has it.
Oh, great. So everybody's running off to Vinny's. Hey, I was listening to this podcast.
But he uses it. I think what I'm trying to say is that he uses his hands to make the pizzas. And it seems to be that like he's found a way to something.
It's something, and I don't mean to make light of this, but is it something that your fingers are connected?
Yes. Oh, exactly. Like this.
Yeah. Okay.
But in like a claw looking formation. So Grady's father also had this condition, and he was a circus sideshow performer. Like they said back then, freak show. I feel bad saying that, but that's what it was called.
That's what they used to
call
it.
It was called the freak show then. And he added Grady to his act. So they were a family act. So then Grady gets married and has two children, and his wife is like a carnival worker. Although it didn't really last long because he was an absolute piece of shit. He beat his entire family. He, like I said, he was in a wheelchair, so he became extremely strong in his upper body. And he would like strangle his family and like beat them with his like claws.
Yeah, with his strip. He probably had twice the money.
Right. And he was exactly. Yeah. And he was a crazy alcoholic. He'd beat them. This is really hard to listen to. Trigger alert. He one time during a fight was said to have ripped out his wife's IUD with his lobster claw during a fight.
You've heard it here on Life's the Banquet podcast,
the show about food
and
so
fun things.
He would swat and choke people with his claw hands,
much like a lobster.
Yeah, so this guy was really, really terrible. But he toured with his family, and they would make like good money and tour around and. But they really, really hated him. So life goes on. People get older. His daughter doesn't have this genetic deformity. On the eve of her wedding, he didn't like her boyfriend. So he goes over to the guy's house, her fiance, and shoots him with a shotgun and kills him.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he snipped off his schnipper.
No. So he goes over there. He murders him. And he then stands trial and he's like, I can't be sent to jail because there are no jails that can handle me. They're not set up to help people with deformities and I'm not mentally ill. I can't go to a psych ward. So they just give him 15 years probation and he just gets out.
What year was this?
This was in 1987.
What?
Yeah, in the 80s.
And where is he now? And where is
he now? Well, you're going to find out in just a minute. So he gets out of jail. He gets another wife. Now, I just want to take this moment to talk about how I don't understand how men do it. You can be a lobster clawed and footed abusive alcoholic who's murdered someone and someone will still want to marry you. And I look at the women walking around New York City and they're beautiful and they have good jobs and they're intelligent and they work in, you know, magazines and restaurants and all this stuff. And they're like, yeah, I just can't find a boyfriend. And this fucking guy, it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, he's a killer.
We all want somebody to love
you. I know. Yeah, yeah. So he starts beating this wife too, has two more kids with her. She leaves him. And then the first wife, whose IUD he ripped out and divorced him once he murdered their daughter's fiance, remarries him. And then he continues to torment the family for 2 years until she, this wife, arranges to have the 17-year-old neighbor, she pays him $1,500 to kill him, and he kills him.
Did she go to jail?
For 12 years. She goes to jail for 12 years. The guy who kills him gets 27 years, and her son from another marriage who like helped her be a co-conspirator gets life in prison. And this guy was so hated that nobody would be a pallbearer at his funeral. Like everyone was like, no way. I hate this lobster guy.
Well, I was about to go shopping for lobsters, but my,
isn't you know that what? A funny story though? Yeah, that like is a insane. Hilarious. I'm just kidding. It's just an interesting carnival story dedicated to my dad about lobster.
All right. Let's draw some butter and celebrate.
I mean, awful.
That is, well,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I feel funny.
I know.
It's so itchy. Wait, you said earlier, what do you want me, what were you asking if I could find?
Oh, a lobster.
But how is that a lobster hard to find?
Well, they don't have them at the new Whole Foods. They have no fresh seafood. They don't have them at the Green Grape.
Have you been to Chinatown?
I didn't have time to go to Chinatown. I didn't have any time. I meant in this neighborhood. I know where to find a lobster in the city. I was going to just go to Fishtails, but I didn't like know where to get one in this neighborhood. I thought maybe you had like a hidden spot.
I think we should if we had a lot of money and high production value, we would be in Maine right now looking for some delicious lobsters.
That'd be amazing. Or you know what? Couldn't you just put a fucking lobster tank in your house? Honestly, yeah, get a fish tank and then just keep lobsters in there.
Yeah, that's what they do at restaurants that I've seen in Chinatown.
Right. I think a home lobster tank. How I went to fabulous Ping
Seafood, and they have a lobster tank in front.
Yeah.
And if you go to if you ever go to San Francisco, right by the airport, it's called Hong Kong Flower Lounge.
Oh yeah, you said that place is good. Diane told you about it, right?
Diane Kwan recommended it to me, and they have a really really humongous lobster tank when you walk in.
That's so fun. Oh my god, you know what I really miss? When I was a kid, I don't know if they had this in Wisconsin, but it was very big deal in Long Island, and I've talked to Jenny about it, and it was a very big thing in Jersey. But like the fancy Chinese restaurant. Where you'd go carpet and a big fish tank.
Short tuxedos.
Exactly. Short tuxedos, a piano jackets. Player, and like a bar lounge area with a piano player. White tablecloths.
Yes.
That is something, of all the food trends that have happened and people trying to recreate things and bring them back, I would like to see that come back. But not in some kind of like hipstery way. I mean like a real way. Like I'd like Chinese people to open that again. I think that's what Chinese tuxedos sort of
tried. There's a restaurant in Chinatown called Chinese Tuxedo, and I have not been there yet, so I will not talk about it more than the name of it. But it is, I think it was trying to do that. We had a restaurant in Sheboygan called Dragonwick.
Oh, fun.
Dragonwick. And from what I remember as a child, it was definitely on the fancier side.
Yeah.
I recall back in the 80s when it was smoking or non-smoking.
Yeah.
I remember
when it's all smoking. If someone's smoking a cigarette inside, everyone's smoking.
I have two memories of being there. One is my mom always getting triple delight.
What?
Triple.
That?
Ask my mother.
I should ask your father.
Yeah. And
or the waiter.
I remember one time we were there with my grandparents, and I thought, I was a kid, and my grandmother hated cigarette smoke. And just hated it.
Yeah.
And non-smoking in the 1980s meant that the table next to you was smoking and that you, 3 feet away...
I know.
We're not smoking. And yeah. That was the barrier between like, oh,
that's
like,
so, isn't that so funny to think about that? That's
smoking
like
smoking or non-smoking.
Yeah.
Non, just the table, the table of eight across from me is smoking 500 cigarettes. And I remember I went up to the table and I started blowing their cigarette. But I was like,
oh my God, you know, like rude, a rude little bitchy gay boy child.
I was like, my grandma, my nanny does not want smoke at
my
our
nanny
table.
Doesn't like
she
this.
Calls them cancer sticks.
Good for you.
And I blew the back, and then my
stand
dad
for your
furious.
Nanny
my
like
dad
that.
Was like, don't do that to other people. And I was like, why? I'm protecting everybody against the evil smokers. Oh, so that's
who,
what
like smokes while they're eating Chinese food inside.
If I did,
and I smoke.
I
sometimes
used to smoke.
Just kidding, Mom. I don't smoke.
I used to smoke, and I used to smoke while I was eating because we could back in the day.
You smoked while you were eating yeah, a bite and then a drag.
You could smoke at the table, so I'd have a cocktail. You know, you'd be smoking a cigarette,
yeah.
And then suddenly your appetizer would come, and you would.
Maron. Yeah, I'm not with that smoking eating.
I enjoyed the time while I had it. I think it's disgusting now. But
yeah.
Whatever. No judge. I've had my time. It was definitely a gateway drug.
Yeah.
Gateway drugs. Everybody says marijuana is the gateway
it's
drug.
Cigarettes. Totally.
Cigarettes
or like
are.
Sprite. I remember like as a kid like taking shots of
you know
Sprite.
What? Water is
it
the
is.
Gateway drug.
The gateway drug is just like wanting to try to feel like an adult. You know what I mean?
The
like
I would say back in the day, cigarettes were the first thing. Cigarettes and alcohol are something that you're not supposed to have.
Yeah.
And all you want
is cigarettes and alcohol. Yes. I would like smoke fake cigarettes. I would take
candy
shots
cigarettes.
Of water and shots of, oh, we would fucking smoke tea. We would take tea bags and roll them up in like printer paper and smoke that. That's what I did. That's what
luckily it didn't affect my lungs.
Nothing happened. I'm fine.
I would say, that lobster was my gateway drug.
Yeah. Into like, lobster.
What's your gateway cooking?
My gateway food drug?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think one of the first things that I got really excited about food wise was, this is going to make you laugh, was Catalina dressing.
Oh, because you're not sure if it's what it is.
It's just sugar.
It's sugar. And I was confused.
It's sugar on salad.
I remember looking at the back of the bottle when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And seeing tomato puree or whatever it was. Tomato paste. And I couldn't figure it out because it does not taste like tomatoes.
No, it doesn't.
It's
I
red.
Made it. I made it at Brucey. I had
I recall.
To. And I made it with tomatoes. That was kind of a gateway drug. Lobster was a very big part of my life, though. My mom's. Though. We would definitely every summer. It's something that really sticks in my mind as one of the quintessential food memories. And it still does. Summertime.
Yeah. Last summer, we had a lobster.
So
classic
fun.
Lobster. It's so funny. It's becoming this really big trend of, you know, corn on the cob and a lobster, you know, a classic seafood boil.
And you just eat with your hands and dip everything in like copious amounts of butter.
Yeah, we didn't have.
And like, don't talk to anyone for like 20 minutes.
I grew up on Lake Michigan, so we had coho.
Coho's a coho.
Coho.
What the fuck is a coho?
First of all, it's correctly pronounced coal.
Coal?
Yeah, not coho.
What the hell is that?
Home on the
look at that coho over there.
From you're from the valley.
Oh my God, that girl's a fucking coho.
Lord, he's got the biggest coho you've ever seen. Coho is a fish. I don't know. It's
okay.
I'm like, it's a fish.
What does it
all
taste like?
All my Sheboyganites are like, you idiot.
What does it taste like?
I forgot. But and Friday fish fries were a big thing. Friday fish fries. So we get lake perch.
Okay.
Lake
never
perch
heard of
it. It's a white lake perch. It's from Lake Michigan, from the Great Lakes.
Okay.
And, bluegills. I think that was a big thing from lots of lake fish.
Okay.
We didn't have
trout. Bass?
Yeah.
Tilapia.
Yeah, yeah. Wide mouth bass from the lakes. Yeah. Fresh. We didn't have
freshly
lobster.
Wild
I mean, we would get
tilapia.
Lobsters, you know, they were shipping
from
the East Coast, obviously. But I would say the gateway drug for me was straw mushrooms.
Oh, really?
I remember there was a little Oriental back then market down the street.
So on PC.
In Sheboygan.
My mom
and it was
used
called
to say that
Toys.
Too.
It was called Toys. And they would, I just remember straw mushrooms. I was so confused. The texture, how strange. Yet, so delightful and fascinating, and that was really
delicious.
What made me that just led me into the wrong. This is, and that, folks, is how I am here penniless, jobless.
You spent all your money on straw mushrooms?
Talking here, somehow living in New York without a job.
living on straw mushrooms.
Recording on a professional equipment. I'm not sure how I did it, folks, but it's all because of straw mushrooms. And I owe my life to it.
Bastards. Yeah. Those little skinny, slimy, slippery bastards.
I'm thinking, oh, this is the time when you order lobster because this is how you be fancy. This is how you be fancy.
You had lobster at your prom?
I don't remember. I think I had mutton. I know it's weird. I had mutton.
Oh, that is weird. I don't think there was food at my prom. I only was there for 10 minutes. There could have been food.
Well, we had senior prom. There was, our school was segregated because of, you know.
By race?
No, by, hello.
How
by
old
money.
Are you?
By money. Yeah, lobster was something you did to be fancy. And the prom was where you had it.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day. Oh, lobster.
Wow.
Steak and lobster.
Cool. Can you tell me, I have a few questions for you.
Okay, go ahead.
About
and
lobster.
Now it's time for questions. It's time for questions.
Ding, ding. Ding, 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 ding.
Go.
Question number one.
Ready.
What's your favorite lobster dish?
My favorite lobster dish is lobster with butter. That's it.
What else? Like, if you had to pick one that's not just lobster with butter.
Oh God, everybody's gonna judge me.
No, it's okay. I think I know what you're gonna say.
Okay, ready? Yeah. Rock, paper, scissors, and we'll both ready. One, two, three.
Lobster
macaroni and cheese.
Oh, they're gonna say lobster tempura roll.
Oh my God! You 1, 2, 3.
Lobster tempura roll.
Yeah, how'd you know?
Lobster mac and cheese. I've never had it.
It's so Upper East Side.
Like, yeah.
Oh, just say some decadent macaroni. Okay. Drizzle tons of white Vermont cheddar. Melting and stirring with a bechamel sauce topped with succulent pieces of buttered lobster. So how does that sound?
That sounds delicious.
Baked in a mini star pot. Served at your table for a cool price of $34.95.
I would, I just made me think that if I still had Brucey, I would do a lobster mac and cheese special, but I would just take like a lobster and broil it and then make some trashy kind of mac and cheese. Like, but good, you know, with good ingredients, but tiny elbows, like Kraft mac and cheese style, and just pour it all over the whole lobster.
Oh, that sounds
Wouldn't that
fabulous.
Be fun?
I think we're hungry.
I have only eaten an orange and crackers today. I'm definitely hungry.
I only had duck egg. I only had
I only
duck
had four egg duck
shakshuka. I'm always like, my life, I'm falling apart. Be like, what'd you have for breakfast? I made a duck egg shakshuka. I had a triple cream.
Life's
tough. With some sumas.
Yeah.
Listen, life is really challenging sometimes.
It is. But there's always...
Ups and downs.
There's always Triscuits. Well, anyway, my favorite lobster dish is the lobster roll from the Pearl Oyster Bar.
Oh.
It's
the lobster
divine.
Roll. Yeah. I mean, they really, really took
it's
off.
It's divine.
Yeah, yeah.
But the lobster roll from the Pearl Oyster Bar, no. I understand there are probably many more that are delicious in Kennebunk, Maine, but
Kennebunk,
my favorite name for a town ever.
Are you going to Kennebunk or Sheboygan?
Oh, Kennebunk.
Kennebunk, Sheboygan, or Timbuktu.
But the Pearl Oyster Bar has a delicious rendition. I really love it.
That's right. That's probably your shout out. They have those really wonderful. Shoestring fries.
Oh my God. Delicious.
Delicious. They have a nice wedge salad, right?
They have a good
blue cheese salad or something.
No. I've never had a
salad
there.
Okay, never mind.
I've been there. I go every year on my birthday. I've never had a salad. Their clam chowder is delicious.
How many years
absolutely
have you been there
for?
On your birthday?
Since I was 18. So 16 years, I think.
All right, you just give away your age.
I'm 34.
That's really weird. I thought you were. That's so funny. I kept thinking, oh, you're going to be 46.
Oh, that's rude.
Yeah.
I'm just, not. I just look 46.
It's your glasses.
Yeah. Okay. So what's your favorite way to eat a lobster? Like to cook a lobster?
My favorite way to cook a lobster, the only way that I have and know of is just dropping it in a pot of boiling water.
Okay. Because some people like it grilled. I like the flavor of grilled, but I feel like
we
it dries it out
last
a little
summer.
Bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's delicious. The char is good.
It is.
Not the same as a for me, a boiled or steamed lobster is my favorite.
I know, steamed is probably the best.
Yeah.
This the first time that I ever went and got picked out lobsters is I was working for Boca Burger. Remember that chapter of my life back in the day.
Back in the Boca Burger days.
Back in the Boca Burger days. Boca Breton traveled around the East Coast.
Boca Breton?
I don't know. I just called myself that.
Oh my God, I thought that's...
My friend Mike called me that.
I'm going to call you that now.
So I go to Maine because my coworker, we drove in this giant truck and we drove to Maine. His parents live there and we got lobsters and then you have a little lobster race.
Yeah.
On the kitchen floor. And then you kill it and you would, yay!
Yeah, murder. Like an Annie Hall kind of. But
so, fabulous. I don't... Yeah. So listen, we're going to post our recipe for boiled lobster.
Right now. We're just going to say it. Boiled lobster.
When
serve
is it done?
Butter,
I
lemon.
Don't know. Just like use your instinct.
Serve it
it's
butter.
It's going to turn dark red. Bright dark red.
Eat the guts. My Eat mom the guts. Loves the guts.
Your mother.
She's a gut lover.
Last summer.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I take my boyfriend guts. Preston. And Preston is from Utah, so he just doesn't have... He hasn't been exposed to a ton of seafood, and I get it. And it's the same thing. I think of the moment when I had my first
moment on the coast of Spain in the Mediterranean, and there those wonderful shrimp heads were, and I just couldn't get myself to it. But well, Preston was looking at the lobster, and
right.
It's green goo.
It's green
and black.
Goo. Coming. Had he had lobster before?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
but again, I don't even suck out the green goo of lobster because it's pretty intense.
Yeah, I like to make it into like, I'll reduce it. And I've made like lobster got aioli or like lobster
what's the,
got
there's
sauce.
What's the name for it? They call it?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, lobster.
Gook.
We talked about it.
I know. My mom calls it gook, so that's what I say. But she will eat it by the fistful. Uh-huh. She'll just cram it, pack it in her mouth.
Fistfuls of lobster
she
guts
will.
Stuffed into
for a little lady she can really eat a
that's
lot of
what
lobster
they said
guts
back in the 1920s. Yeah. Fistfuls of lobster gut for
free.
So that's it. Listen, I hope everybody enjoyed the show.
Yes,
listen, we're gonna encourage everybody, go out to your nearest fishmonger and go blow your load on a lobster because why not, because life's a banquet and you know
most poor suckers are starving to death.
Wait, we can't say that. That's stealing.
You can? It's just a quote.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I made it up. I wrote it right now.
I think you can say a quote.
Yeah, why not? So listen, go grab a lobster, get some nice Kerrygold butter, draw the butter.
Yeah, draw it up.
Draw it up.
Guys, thanks for joining us for our third show. And the fourth show is just around the corner.
Around
you won't
corner.
Even have to wait for it. You can binge on this, just like you'd binge on a whole lobster carcass.
That's right. So everybody, thank you for coming to our show. Yay!
Bye. Love you. All of our episodes are recorded right here at Studio 54 at the heart of Fort Greene, Brooklyn. Our rock star award-winning sound editor and producer is Christine Farrell. I'm Zara Tangora.
And I'm Breton Scott. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening.